Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Karen. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to the fall. That's my favorite season. So
yeah, and you're up north, so you get to see the fall leaves, the changes, the cozy weather.
That's the one thing. I grew up in Tennessee and North Carolina area, and then moved to Orlando, and I gave up the seasons, and I didn't realize I was going to do that. So it's nice to come back to someplace that has seasons again. I miss those.
Yeah, I think I live up north, and I live in cities, but I got to. One of the things I love to do is to go upstate every so often and to go like apple picking, go to pumpkin patch, go enjoy the season, go to have a seasonal drink, enjoy this cozy weather, see the fall, like the fall foliage.
Oh, it's a big deal up here and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. DC has beautiful fall foliage. So DC is actually, if you're looking for somewhere that's not as cold or as harsh as New York, DC is the place to have a good fall.
Yeah, Tennessee and the North Carolina. I lived in the peak corner of East Tennessee. Yeah. So I was 15 minutes from Kentucky, 15 minutes from Virginia, and 15 minutes from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And we had beautiful falls there. So it's like coming home, only they're a little bit brisker here.
So exciting. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us your writer and all the fun stuff.
I didn't start writing until I was started working on my PhD while I was teaching college. I have a master's degree in political science. I was teaching American government and international studies classes. And I started working on my PhD and I didn't have time to read anymore. Like I would have 20, 30 minutes in a day because I had a full-time job and I had little kids and I was working on my PhD. So I missed reading and I couldn't read a whole book because I only had 20 minutes. The next day I would be like, what did I read yesterday? So I started writing instead. And so every night for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I would write. And at the end of the year, I had a book and I sold that pretty quickly. And that sort of started it for me. I wrote historical romances for a number of years. And then about 4 years ago, I moved over to women's fiction, magic realism. I read an author that Sarah Addison Allen fell in love and couldn't find more of those books. And almost like me writing in the very beginning of my career, what I didn't have time or couldn't find to read, I started writing. And so I started writing a new series, which is my Dev Pond series is a whole magic realism and a touch of Sarah Addison Allen. I would love to be able to tell you that, yes, I can write her, but she is the only person with her voice and she's just a wonderful author. But kudos. She inspired me.
Yes. I love this. We're going to chat about the Dev Pond series in a while, but I want to chat about your historical romance. What kind of time period did you focus? Because a lot of times you focus on one time period, get the research. It helps you. I think with the academia might be like helpful to go down these rabbit holes.
I did. And it's true. My first book that I wrote was actually set in Elizabethan time period, and I kept getting all these editors in these contests. I would win the contest, but they would go, you know what? Love the book, love your voice, but can't publish this because Elizabethan is not a popular time period. Write a book set in the Regency era and we'll buy it. So I wrote my second book in the Regency era because I do listen. I do learn things. Most of my books were written in that time period. I eventually pulled that book out of a box and published that Elizabethan book as a prequel, rewrote it so that it worked. But most of my books are set in a Regency era. And I feel like I can have a lot of conversations about the Regency era. It's a fascinating, beautiful era, probably one of my favorites. And I still love reading books set in that time period. So
I love this. Yeah, Regency it's popular. Jane Austen,
right? Exactly.
The mother of historical romance. Yeah. The historical romance. We have Jane Austen.
So. Exactly. And it's so funny to think about the fact that Jane Austen was writing contemporary romances.
She was.
that's not how I see her. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, she was really not writing historicals. She was writing contemporary romances. Yeah. So
it's like our contemporary romances are going to be, or contemporary romances from the 90s are historical
fiction. Historical now, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they don't have cell phones. It's like, how did that work? Yeah,
how my God. That? Yeah. How did that? Wait, you had a landline? What is a landline?
You had to dial what?
Yeah. No internet? You did not have internet? You had to, you couldn't wait around. I read a couple books today from my childhood, and I was like, wait, why they can just text or call the friend? There are all these plot devices of, I am lost in one place, I cannot talk to that person for hours, and I'm like,
yeah,
we're so connected now that it
doesn't seem. I saw a meme the other day on Instagram, and it said that I told my daughter that we used to have to look at paper maps, and she looked at me and asked, a pirate? And I exactly right. We were like pirates with our paper maps from the AAA, trying to figure out how to get to South Dakota. Okay, if we miss this turn off, we'll end up in Montana. We're going to figure this out.
Yes. Those were the times.
Those were the times. I'm telling you how old I am right now.
So oh, no, it's okay. I'm old too. So don't worry. We're in that other stages. So, awesome. So let's talk about the Daft Punk series. So what was it for you to transition from historical to this magical realism, contemporary? Was it a struggle, or was it like, were you, not a struggle, but was it challenging to find a voice and find a, not having to think about language and
right,
about your rules that historical may have that you may not encounter?
Historical, a story set in historical time, the time period is a character in the book. Mm-hmm. And it does give a flavor right off the bat. As soon as you identify this is in Regency, you've really given the reader a shortcut as to what people are wearing and what it looks like and the limitations of the time period. And people know things. So writing a contemporary, I had already written a couple of contemporaries a couple years ago, but honestly, my contemporary voice is my email voice. It wasn't hard for me to write in a contemporary voice because I live in contemporary times and I have contemporary children. I get to hear all the new stuff, which I wouldn't know. So it was not hard for me to transition. And the reason I transitioned, and this is a facet, it was a combination of market and desire. I have written 30 some romance novels and I was looking for a new challenge. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that writing romances was hard or boring in any way. I love it. I'm still working on a short story, a novella right now that's historical, because I love writing that time period. I'm never going to not love writing it. But it's fun as an author to challenge yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I had been thinking about this. And if you look back at my historicals, there's a lot of magic realism in those. Mm-hmm. I had the McLean series where they're looking for this magic, I guess it's an amulet, they're following this track. I had this family in my St. John series where that they had a ring, and whoever ended up in the family with this ring, they're going to end up married. It's like a curse. One of them calls it a curse, the other calls it a blessing, you never know. And so at the beginning of every book, one of the brothers has the ring, and at the end of the book, he tricks another brother into getting this book. I got that idea because I was at a wedding where they took the garter off the bride and threw it into the grooms and nobody touched it. It just fell on the floor. Everybody ran the other way. And I thought, yeah, okay. Got message received. And so I thought that was funny. And I thought I'm going to write a book where they're trying not to get married, or series. And so that's where that came from. So I've been doing this. Yeah. The McLean curse is, yeah, that's the, and so I've got all these different, I've been doing it for a long time. So the fact that I wrote a contemporary that had magic realism is not really a surprise. I was already headed down that road.
Yeah.
And Pocket, I was writing for Pocket, and they stopped printing mass market paperbacks. My historical, last historical is one of the last ones they did, and they went to trade. And at that time, not true now, historical romances hadn't made the jump over. And so they asked me, they said, is there anything you've ever wanted to write? We'd like to continue working with you. And I thought, this is my opportunity. I had this idea for this story, and I hadn't thought about writing. I said, I really like to write a magic realism book. And my agent was wonderful. We had this huge conversation and she said, you need to read the following authors. And I went and read every magic realism book I could find. And I was already familiar with Sarah Addison Allen and in love with that. And Fanny Flagg, the mm-hmm. Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop. I love that book. Love the movie. And Alice Hoffman, mm-hmm. a lot of those authors. And just, it was an easy jump. It was a very simple step. It was almost a sidestep for me. To do this series, and I've really been enjoying it. I've already written the fourth one. I'm editing it right now, so that's Yeah, it comes out May, so I'm excited about that.
That's exciting. So talk to us about the series. So what set us the series up? What can we expect from the series for readers who want to jump in and they're like, might be intimidated with magical realism, like the words like bigger, but what is it all about that can actually, that makes it unique?
It's about a set of sisters. This family, the Dove family, has seven sisters. They moved to North Carolina in the 1702 area, which if you know what happened in Salem, you know why they moved. And they show up. I never mentioned that connection, but that's where the date came from. And the Doves show up. The Dove family shows up. And every time the Dove family has seven sisters, they each have an ability. And I don't write about magic as if somebody can send a lightning bolt into the heart of someone they love or make dragons show up. But I write about a cozy magic. I want a book that when you get done with the book, you feel hugged, because I feel like life is so harsh right now. And there's so much negative stuff coming on, and having a degree in political science, I am a news hound and I subject myself to that every morning. And so I want fiction that leaves me feeling good, because I feel sometimes real life has failed to do that.
Yes.
So that's what the stories are all about, this family coming back home, the women in this family, the sisters one at a time.
And your latest book is The Secret Recipe of Ella Duff. So what can we expect on Ella's journey?
Ella's a little different from her sister. She's famous. She's an influencer. She's a baker. And she's gotten very famous with her Instagram account and her TikToks. Because who doesn't watch a good dessert TikTok or a gram? We can't help it. And so she's become quite the influencer. But she's also a runner. Ella has been very careful to never get close to anybody. And she does that by avoidance. And she's gotten very good from not just her personal life, but also her professional life. Because if you think about it, an influencer can be anywhere. And it's the perfect job for somebody who doesn't want to commit to a place, a location, or another person. And so she gets called back home. She comes back home and she's to face herself. She started having these dreams where she's being chased by a giant pink cupcake. And when she wakes up, she's got literal frosting coming off of her shoulder, on the back of her hand, a little rosette on the back of her hand, or on one cheek, there's a little heart. So she can't figure out at first what she can do to get rid of these dreams. So she comes back home to talk to her Aunt Jo, who's a family friend, who has amazing knowledge of stuff. Everybody's always got that one person in their life who, sometimes they're your age, sometimes they're your mother's age, somebody that you call when you have a question about life, and they're going to say something in the middle of the conversation that you're going to walk away and go, oh, yeah, that's it. So that's Aunt Jo. And so Ella comes back to see Aunt Jo, and Aunt Jo tells her, obviously, you're going to have to, you've left something undone. And so she believes that what she needs to fix is her relationship with a woman that was her, and this lady's a little bit older than her, but she's like a peer to her. She's another baker. And they got to be close friends. And then there was a misunderstanding that arose. And so Ella believes that in order to stop these dreams, she's going to have to reconcile with her friend Angela. So that's the main line of the story.
I love this. I'm excited. And so we have book four coming out. So we know that there's more books to come in the series. So
yes. Yeah. The next one, I believe we're going to call it The Bookshop of Hidden Dreams. And I think it comes out in May. That's not set in stone right now, but that's temporary placeholder, but it looks like that's going to be correct. There's more romance. It's funny. I got away from my romance, but every book, it's a little bit more romantic. I told my agent the other day, I can't help it. I have to have my romance in there. And so this one has, I think, one of my favorite romance, which is The Second Chance at Love. I love those stories. Yep. And she comes back to town and meets her ex old boyfriend. And has to deal with that too. And he's a lot of fun. I always say he's Ryan Reynolds. I told everybody that was my inspiration.
I love this. And once a romance writer, always a romance writer. You might still think about the heroine's journey and their arc and the stuff, but there's also having a love story. It's a little sprinkle to the life.
I guess the difference between the romance versus the women's fiction that I've been writing, it's romantic women's fiction, it would just be the page count committed towards the relationship. That relationships are still there. The romance is still there. The hero is still there. The heroine's still there. But it's also her relationship with another portion of her life, which is more realistic to me in our lives. How often do we get to have or relationship. And I read somewhere they were laughing about how many mothers were dead in romance novels. And I was like, there's not a page count to have another relationship. They either their mother's alive and they don't see him for the book except for the epilogue and the prologue, or for the most part, they're gone. So.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's interesting because I don't know. I think about my personal life and there's so much, I don't have romance in my life, but I have like friendships. I have family relationships. I have all these career in all these different areas. I do love romance. I do. I'm a romance reader. It's a way to escape. But I like the fact that sometimes I do like women's fiction because it helps me remind, it helps me relate to my life today. Where my life is I have a pretty good life as like a suspenser, quote unquote, on the shelf. And I actually like the way it doesn't really have any, I don't have an attachment to it. I like my life. I like the fact that I get to choose however I wanted to do my time and I don't have to be accountable to anyone. And there's a benefit. There's something, my friendships are just as important as the romantic relationship.
Absolutely. And I think reality wise, looking at contemporary novels, one of the things is I think today is that your friends are such a huge part of your life anymore. And even my parents, I look at their lives and they're very connected. My dad goes out with the guys he went to work with for 35 years. They still go out to breakfast. They call them romantic old men eating out, Romeos. So he goes out with his little Romeo group and has breakfast all the time and that kind of thing. And that's a very huge part of his life. Those guys are constantly texting each other and sending each other jokes and talking. And it's really enriched his life. And I want to be that same person too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting to retirement home because I plan on starting a murder mystery club and solving mysteries. I'm already ready. I've already got this all figured out.
You got your cozy mystery. You know,
I do. I'm going to have a romance if I'm not Captain Hot Cotton naked. Although I warned him about that.
You're just going to be nuisance to the local police, local sheriff.
They eventually just give up, start sending me their files. I won't have to steal them anymore.
It is okay. So do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I do. I actually have some series that I've just been really enjoying. One of them is Robin Carr's Virgin River series, and the new season's about to open up. So I always go back and read her stuff right before the season starts. But I love that series so much. I love all of her work, but it's fun to see that one come to life on Netflix and also do it so well, which they don't always do so well, but they've done a great job with that one. So I'm excited about that. And then I've been reading Karen White's Trad Street series again, I think probably my third time. And she had a new one that just came out. I love Karen White's work. I think one of the best things I like about her work is that she always writes female characters that I want to go to lunch with. I want to know them more. They're very human and normal in sometimes not a normal situation. I like her light touch of magic realism she's got in her books. She's a lot of little ghost things going on, which works really well with the settings that she uses, which is little Southern magic settings. I just love those books. Those are wonderful books. And I've really been enjoying two historical romance wise, Stephanie Lawrence's Barnaby Adair, I think that's what that's called. She has all of these mysteries that she's been writing. And I absolutely love Stephanie Lawrence's sense of humor. And it shows up a lot in her historical romance mystery series there. So those are absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. So I have to tell you, Virgin River is by far my comfort listen. I don't know about you, but like, I personally love like how Robin does the storytelling. Yeah. Like, every single time I'm like, no, I'm not going to love it as much as the last one. And every single time
I know. And I think that takes so much talent because I feel like I came back somewhere familiar and yet I'm surprised. And that's hard to do. I know a lot of people, it's funny. A lot of readers will tell me, oh, I want you to write a book like this, that I love this one book of yours. Could you write another one just like it? And you're like, no, you can't write the same book twice. But I think it's a sign of a very good author who can write a familiar and yet different book. And Robin nails it. She nails it every time with Virgin River.
She knows how to write Wounded Soldier. like Linda, hero, and a strong heroine, and you're like, but the odds are against him, and it's still work it out. And it's not just like the romantic story. There's all these side characters,
right?
Side stuff. So you're like immersed in this world for 20 books.
She just nails it, and I think one of her strengths is her heroes in particular. They are wounded and yet lovable. They're harsh and hard, and yet soft at the right time. She knows how to balance that. That takes a lot of talent, and you just fall in love. I fall in love with her men so hard.
Yeah, so part of my
marriage, Robin.
Yeah, I think it might just mean I just need to go back to Virgin River again.
Oh my gosh, there's such great rereads. Every time I read them, I feel like it's over and over and over again. So,
and her narrator, if you do listen to her audiobooks, her narrator is excellent. Therese Plummer, it's just by far such an amazing immersive experience. The narration is next level.
It's good. So. Yeah, there's some good ones out there. I will have to listen. I have not listened to the narrated ones yet. Yeah. I just have read the books and watched the series. So,
oh my gosh, Therese does like such a great job. Like it just gives you like a next level. Like it's like an extra star just for her narration.
That's excellent. I'll definitely listen to her. Yeah. I will check that out. I had just hadn't realized until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago that the audio readers have their own fan bases and newsletters. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Once you find one you could like, you can listen. They're like, oh, I'm getting ready to do this book. And you're like, I order. So it's nice that they do that.
Yeah, we have like, I think with audio listeners, you don't only have to think about the author and the engagement, but also the narrator. And especially in the romance community, the narrators are like superstars, especially the male narrators are like.
You should hear the guy who narrated my last historical. Oh my gosh, his voice.
It was just amazing. I think it's just, it adds another extra level of immersiveness, and it's just isn't conducive. I'm like, okay, I want to know more.
Well, it really feels like too, when that's a good narrator, that they're telling you the story.
Yeah.
I have one narrator, and I'm not going to tell you which book it was, but they read a portion of one of my books and I was just wincing because they made this character seem so complainy, and they were to some point, but not to the level that this reader made them. And I was like, but you don't get to, you can't, they never ask you during. I was like, all right. But yeah, that's a problem. But yeah, I will definitely listen for those. I will order one of those today. I love that when I travel to do the audiobooks. I just haven't done the hers yet.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I think you can get it from the library. They're easy to find from the library. Google has them and Libby has them. And stuff. Okay.
I have Libby.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, cool. I will check that.
So Karen, tell us where we can find you online.
Okay, I'm on Karen Hawkins Author on Facebook and Author Karen Hawkins, I think, on Instagram. And I had to change that up because other people had, so there's more than one writer. And then I just started a thread account. I had Twitter, but Twitter it just closed me down because I posted. Yeah, so I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I just started a Threads account, which I think is Karen Hawkins Author. Yep. Is that one too? And that's where I am. I haven't started a TikTok channel because I'm lazy.
It is okay. Honestly, I think it's important. Yes, we can reach the authors, we can talk to them, but it's not a lot of times like we expect the authors to sell us the book, and the reality is the readers can sell the books too.
It's like, so I actually play more on my Facebook because those are like the people on my Facebook and my gram are probably the two biggest. And theirs are just my go to the water cooler when I'm supposed to be writing and I'm not writing. That's where I am.
Like, yeah. Hey,
everybody, look at this cool picture I found of a Highland cow.
Yeah. So, awesome. Thank you, Karen, for being on the show.
Thank you, Laura, so much. It was nice talking to you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. please visit whatyourrootedsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great greeter is waiting for you.